This is East End Inc. Tonight we present a session of the annual Poetry Marathon recorded at the East Hampton Town Marine Museum. Poet and journalist Joanne Pilgrim and poet and teacher Jan Grossman were recorded in July 2015. First, here is Joanne Pilgrim.
I'll start with a poem called Still Life with Birds. How little we know embarking. Burn of whiskey down the gullet, forging ahead. Alone in the bright afternoon through wavery glass, a popped cork and plastic cup of champagne. Milk crate. So this is where I'll be, still life with birds. The long breath of the water when the tide is high. Goethe on the kitchen chalkboard, death of a thousand cuts. Stalwart, catalpa, linden, cedar, pine. Somewhere a joss stick sputters, the heavy snow, the osprey, the light. This one's called The Lesson of Wounds, and it uses as its epigraph a line by Joyce Carol Oates. She has given up the effort of tears. It's not that way for me, like the zebra fish, able to regenerate a lopped off piece of heart. I'm buried under a slag heap of imagined kisses. I bought jars of warm sake from vending machines in the Kyoto rain, lips burning as I walked the streets, seeping. Not for me, snapshots, sparklers, and champagne, the arrogance of ordinary days. Not the quickening, just a slow tick-tock until each moment is filled with all moments. Not that, but this. Each spring, the swell of green leaves, summer, crisp cumulus clouds, winter, tree wood bones against the sky, and each fall, again, the dying off. In Idaho one day, balanced on the sharp edge of a lava field, a line of cooling towers, dark geometry like an asphalt breath on the horizon, a funnel cloud drawing closer while I float on the magic reservoir, cupped in a painted blue dome, eye of Magritte. I am a pocket upended, a purse shaken free of magic beans. Wherever the lightning is, I want to go higher. Oh, words that run down the middle of the highway, oh, cattle prods, oh, black softening of the tarmac in the sun, save me from myself, lay me down unto myself, lay me down on your yellow lines. I am here with my cup of ash, with my sorrows baked into pies, with my glittering dullness, on the blue highways of the West, gathering to me artifacts like breadcrumbs, bewitching, socking away a stone to suck on some flint. So I'm going to read a few poems in a series that grew out a number of trips I made to Cuba some years ago. First glimpse. Night air and exhalation through the narrow calles of the darkened city. Stingy, low wattage bulbs and a communist lack of commerce. But the full moon illuminates ornate stucco facades and peeling pastel paint, the air an adobo of hardship, a sweaty, desperate dance of joy, survival rumba. Sewage trickles into the dust at the edge of rubble-filled streets, columns frame doors showing building skeletons of rebar, exhausted walls collapsed at their feet. We stand on uneven cobblestones, the horses twitch, scattering flies, cart drivers sweat in their guayaberas and best trousers, thin, shoes shined and stuffed with paper to fit. In the lunar light, a glimpse of the Malecón, tankers hauling oil hulk under the white limestone Castillo across the bay, tall Jesus pointing skyward, an ominous lack of boats. We wind through streets I will later know, all silent, awed. The hooves clip-clop, a few bars of bolero, merengue beat, intoxicated drums. Like visions, barefoot on bicycles from the murk, men pedaling the wide wooden baskets, a tired plastic bag swinging, a couple of eggs, a gram or two of rice. On the proud balcony where we go to eat, once stood Los Jefes in high-level plot, pulling on cigars, sipping rum, how best to squelch dissent, crush the balls of our enemies. We wind our way up marble stairs in the mansion, avoiding the holes. Electric wires dangle in front of our American eyes. On the menu, pescado, but there is no fish tonight. Carne, but we're out of meat. Order anything you like. Moros y Cristianos, the Moors and Christians, black beans and rice in good supply. In the afternoon, we landed at Jose Marti. This notion to visit Cuba, at first a joke, somehow materialized. And now in Havana, I'm struck dumb by the right angle turn of my perceptions. Under the first full moon, unaware that the city will draw its charcoal edifices on my skin, lodge forever its architecture under the bones of my heart, shackling our superheated breath together until its combustion is my own. And this is called Still Life. We were a photograph, legs swinging over the seawall edge, cross-legged on the bed in my paisley bra while you slugged down beer a block from the Malecone where lovers walked, passing cheap bottles of rum. I stepped off the plane onto forbidden ground in black and white, the crowded street, you on the moto, muscles in a black tribal print. We slept flung out of a thin sheet. I ebbed into the small of your back. Coffee in the kitchen, soup of noise over rooftops, sweet musk of sewage, horses slipping by, smell of a dead rat through the kitchen window. Conversations I pieced together, pretending to understand. Pork sliced straight into a wrinkled bag at the market that I fried for your greedy friends, knees splayed wide as they sat on the couch like kings. I learned to move my gringa hips, clamped tight against your pelvis, mocking, loose, hovering between the beat of the claves and the hot shimmer of the city streets, dissolved by late night rum kisses, your tight brown skin, your hands as large as my face, leaving no mark. And the last Cuba poem is called Padrino, which refers to a godfather and a priest in the Santeria tradition. A songbird buried in the Cuban dust picked clean my soul and the heart of me, my doom in the shape of bones beneath the blazing sun. In a backyard shed in California, San Jose, my godfather talked to the guerreros, inviting the warrior saints to take up arms on my behalf. Offerings buried in the yard. The neighbors trimmed their lawns as I walked a path of spilled wax and iron effigies to his door. In a shower stall at the end of the tract house hall, I was anointed by a gangbanger priest. Dressed in white, I bent my head to his knee, gave him my spirit to resuscitate. Blessed by his brutal hand, a saint, a sinner, black energy, light, on his cheek, a tattooed teardrop falling slow. Dark soldiers waited patiently among the drums in the living room. I sat on a kitchen chair as my godfather threw the cowrie shells, chanted over me, rubbed oil in my hair. Three strands of beads, my armor. Between us pulsate the bright colors of the saints. My heart, a sacrifice I ate whole, burying its pieces deep under my tongue until it was safe again to speak. And this is called Law of the Universe. I am tough in my cast-off coat, faux suede, fleece fur passed down from a boy. 70s cool, brazen hot in my tight Levi's, construction boots, flannel shirt, and a drop of sweet 15, yellow cotton bra under it all. In my pocket, some scribbled words, a joint to smoke with the boys on the path under the footbridge, out of the wind, parkway cars whizzing by, an ink pen nicked from art class for sketching my desire to fly. It is February, cold and dry, another day of a bland month, unmarked teen years. The dogs howl through a wave of longing in the pound. The school bell rings. I head home through the woods, cutting out midday, follow the asphalt path past the pet cemetery to cross the stream. Quick footsteps behind me still set off dominoes along my spine, though I am not afraid of the dark. I've slept alone in bad motels, rest stops, the woods, shrugging off possibilities. I've heard the laws of the universe have to be proven time after time. An egg dropped from above, flat penny on a railroad track. It is still and clear. I watch a cloud bounce across the sky. I do not look when he says don't. I am not there. I do not need to move the hand in my coat pocket that has gripped the pointed ink pen. A lone diamond chain link prong scratching a scar into my forehead, like the touch of a witch nail just under the hairline. In the flush of spring, I take the package from the police and burn the buttonless plaid, the innocent pale bra in their thick evidence bag, the globs of plastic leaving burn scars on my father's perfect lawn. This is my newest poem, probably changed several times along the way, and it borrows a line from a Lewis Carroll poem. It's called "Is This Sorcery?" I peered into the urn center of the fern, deeper than my arm, while the birds still sang, one note at a time, then a trill. And all the calendar days annotated with you lined up in a spiral, a vanishing point the shape of a year. And the light shimmered to the blue bottom of the pool, the stones kept sucking up the sun, the fountain trickled, and the slight warm breeze blew both June and July. The sunshine breathed into pockets of shade, then withdrew as I conjured the words I would write to you. And the day grew still, though the high limbs kept swaying, upright lobelia, allium globes, tight peony buds, miracles unfurled, hollyhock with its hands spread wide, rosemary potent in the sun distilling. Leopard spots underwater, sun lines in space, leaf shapes melded one to the other in the court of the ferns. How you said, I feel you, and I know you do, because I carry you too, because of how my soul wove a tapestry of its tatters, throwing off its dust in the wind of your gaze and our breathless looking. Because even in the rattle and river rush of our lives, we settled then at the two ends of our unexpected weaving. And tindered this afternoon, when the bright tips of the willow bush glow pink from within, the bright future and its dark underside, the beautiful now, all in the golden afternoon, full leisurely we glide. And the day was still, thrusting me toward that line that we will never cross, and the one that we will. And this one's called Hey. When I say I love you, I mean your words. A handful of talismans, spelling and respelling something new. When I say love, I mean a surge, tide tangling my throat, smooth emulsion, fool's nectar. And when you call me baby, well, I am yours, contained by four letters, the drop tail of the Y holding reason at bay, the two B's bounding against each other in joy, the A, a letter of reason that I kick away to lie at your feet.
This is East End Inc. on WPKN Radio. We heard poet and journalist Joanne Pilgrim recorded at the annual Poetry Marathon in Amagansett, New York, in July 2015. Next, here is teacher and poet Jan Grossman.
Rethinking Eden. I tell my love that we should celebrate our love and the fall, but he is not lulled by leaves, and he will not initiate a country drive or drink his cider mulled. So we rinse apples in the sink at home, marveling at all the varieties we know, the Cortland, the wine sap, the Rome. I want to taste them all, these mysteries. So it may be that Eve, in the first flush of knowledge, wanted Adam just to taste and name the fruits, nothing more. But his blush inspired hers and got them both displaced. Yet we are here, side by side. He peels, I slice. And that is all we need of paradise. I often write about objects. I'm interested in their history and how they connect to memory, but mostly in how they tell a story, or particularly how they tell only part of a story. and this next poem is inspired by a desk in a library. I was sitting at the desk working on a poem and looking for a word when I suddenly realized I was surrounded by words. Among the readers, anyone who writes at this desk leaves their mark. So a date, a name, little strokes become proof of small moments of passion, underlined, exclaimed, crossed out. The black surface lit by the window light and lamp from a distance is impermeable. Up close, tracings of the others, unexpected, unexplained, compete in etched layers. Here among the readers, I look down too, but I am not looking at my page. I am reading the thoughts of those who did not know they carved them, a witness to the fragile life of words. Even names overlap, so Scott H. is overcome by Diana. This fall gives way to never, and 10-20-06 wins out over love. It happens so quickly, a new pen pressing down across the wood, like a shift in affection that one does not see coming. It happens so quietly, like a stranger taking someone's place in the dark. And the words then, the faint tentative lines, are covered by the wider, darkly drawn, and are lost, no matter what they said or how much it mattered. One morning in summer. Familiar things, the pitcher with the purple birds, the chipped English tile, a single tree and open fence, the oatmeal grained fruit bowl, its rim glazed in the potter's best blue, all suddenly new because of the three summer peaches on the counter and how round and smooth they are. Two stalwart, with their leafy stems still on, though startled as if they'd just left the branch, and the other blushing like a girl, who, glancing toward the kitchen doorway, knows she is admired for that dewy, fragrant skin and waits to be touched. This next poem is written in a traditional form that I find very intriguing. It's a villanelle. And the villanelle is made up of six stanzas, five of which have three lines, and the final stanza has four. And throughout the villanelle, there are also two repeating lines that move through the stanzas in a set pattern, and they determine a rhyme scheme. I think the villanelle has an inherent musicality because of these refrains, and it was originally a sung form. And there's also a distinctive, insistent quality that's created by the echoing lines. First secret. I've something to show you, a secret to share. Take one small bite, since it's so ripe and red, with sun on our skin and vines in our hair. Life's not just blossoms and cool, honeyed air, this dull nest of moss and ferns that's our bed. I've something to show you, a secret to share. There's more to know if only we dare. Now, by a voice in the grass, let's be led, with sun on our skin and vines in our hair. We're the pride of Eden, the most cherished pair, with nothing to lose, so there's nothing to dread. I've something to show you, a secret to share. There's a strange new stillness and heat that's rare, as if hives are empty and bees have fled. No sun on our skin, no vines in our hair. We'll cleave together, but never find where that world has gone. All we lost when I said, I've something to show you, a secret to share, with sun on our skin and vines in our hair. The sting. She is not attractive to mosquitoes the way she used to be. when they pierced the folds of her long pale sleeves or soared up her silk skirts. Now, though they make a beeline at the glimpse and scent of flesh, they pause mid-flight, humming or hissing, not sweet enough, not young enough. The upside is obvious. No bites, no itch or sting, no toxic threat or calamine. The downside is the general direction of things and the unstoppability of it. It is not that she wants the mosquito's attention, but that she feels the slight as part of a larger magic scheme, a sleight of hand so that the face and form in the mirror are changed and still changing, no matter what card she picks, or even, for instance, if she wears a new perfume or might pin a white flower behind her ear this summer. On my way somewhere. It must have rained last night, for what I take from a distance to be a leaf of such perfect shape and size that I have to stop and admire it is not a leaf, but the gray stencil of one that left its wet and phantom print. Then, as if through a telescope's gathered light, it comes into close and altered range. I see its imperfections then, this shadow masquerading as leaf. Without a trace of strident green or red or gold, no scent of rain-soaked silk or threading veins and solid stem. If the world is measured by what we expect, then this disappoints, and looking again offends, as if there were nothing there at all. But what if I had no rigid scheme for what is real or why that matters? And on my way somewhere, just came upon this pattern as I walked that seemed to rise at me, pointed, graceful, small, and knew it as leaf, or nearly leaf, and felt amazed. Shouldn't that have been enough? The Old Book. This is one of the books the boy loved best. It is as funny as it always was, the pictures just as winning. It would still be worth running from room to find it if it were lost. Then sit with it in the early afternoon and read it once, waiting for him to flip back to the first page saying, again, again, oh, read it again. It is such a slim book. Now the same boy carries a backpack always laden with notebooks, textbooks, tomes. Every day it gets heavier. He leaves before the sun now, comes home later, cheerful, burdened with books, arriving in the dark. So much reading and carrying. The woman waiting for the water to boil remembers every page. As she pours, the steam from the kettle makes it very hard to see. Someday, when he is not too busy, she might stand behind the chair of his desk saying, look, here is your old book. Just seeing the cover would make him laugh, but seeing it would be enough, except that he, knowing her face so well, might stand, reaching for the book, asking, do you want to read it again? Start from the beginning? Promenade all. I dream of a square dance. My partners are all doctors. In white coats and gingham bow ties, their stethoscopes swinging as we promenade to the left. Nurses sashay down the center, clapping and strewing robes as the caller shouts, open to the front, open to the back. I lie on a flat table, breathing. I am dressed for the occasion. Blue paper gown loosely gathered with a white cellophane belt for that subtle look that says, examine me. Nothing invasive, I'm told, but what then of my right just to have a heart that murmurs with a valve that swings and closes lightly like the flutter wheel wings of a moth? The doctor and I circle left, circle right as he glides me swiftly toward the door, grabs another lady from the waiting room and do-si-dos her down the hall. A bored dance partner, he has cast me off, a courtesy turn to someone new who will show me other steps. Among the lab coats, latex hands, I slide step from table to table until I am left clinging to the white paper, my footing lost. But when I reach the next plateau, black vinyl and crumpled pink sheet, the echo man waves his wand over my heart, and there is such a wind tunnel in me that I think the world can hear this rushing of waves, this strange, strong music I make, and the call to honor your partner in a dance where the partner now is life itself. So I am changed by the force of my own echoes and will not miss a beat. I am riding the sounds, dancing the waves, loving my heart.
This is East End Inc. We heard Joanne Pilgrim and Jan Grossman recorded at the annual Poetry Marathon held at the East Hampton Town Marine Museum in July 2015. Joanne Pilgrim is a poet, essayist, and East Hampton Star associate editor. Her work can be found at joannepilgrim.contently.com. New Yorker Jan Grossman is a teacher and former arts and humanities consultant to the Rockefeller Foundation. Her poetry has appeared in Poetry East, Poetry Law, and American Arts Quarterly. The 2015 Poetry Marathon, in its 21st year, was produced by Sylvia Chafkin. It will be held again in July and August 2018. Here are some upcoming literary events produced by Canio's Cultural Cafe at 290 Main Street in Sag Harbor. On Saturday, February the 17th at 5 p.m., an African-American literature read-in, co-sponsored with Sag Harbor's John Germain Library. You can read an excerpt by your favorite African-American writer. Reserve a space by calling 631-725-4926. On Saturday, February the 24th at 5 p.m., author Adam Nicholson in conversation with nature writer biologist Carl Safina on Nicholson's new work, The Seabird's Cry, Lives and Loves of the Planet's Great Ocean Voyagers. Looking ahead, on Thursday, March the 1st at 6:30 p.m., Racial Justice East End presents the film Rikers at the Hampton Library on Main Street in Bridgehampton. And on Saturday, March the 17th at 5 p.m., Irish history expert and musician Terence Sullivan presents a program of satirical songs in Irish, exploring Irish culture and diversity. More events are listed at canyosbooks.com. East End Inc. is heard on the fourth and occasional fifth Wednesday each month. Programs are archived at eastendinc.blogspot.com, where you can find a link to East End Inc. podcasts. Today's program was produced by Tony Ernst with the aid of Sylvia Chafkin and Anna Lee Collins. This is Hazel Kahn.